Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
New Democrats are hoping a revived pitch to lower their legal voting age in Canada 16 will generate more support in the House of Commons. NDP MP Taylor Bacharach has introduced a private member's bill to lower Canada's voting age to 16, just as they have in Austria, Scotland, and Wales. Taylor Bacharach is the NDP MP for Skeena Bulkeley Valley. He joins us now. Taylor, thank you for speaking to us today.
Hi, Jazz. Thanks for having me on.
So tell me, what in your mind is driving this? Why do you want to lower the voting age from 18 to 16? What are the advantages of it?
Sure. Well, you know, the issues we're talking about right now in the House of Commons, issues like the climate crisis and affordability, student debt, these are issues that have a tremendous bearing on the lives of young people. And I don't know about you, but I know a lot of 16 and 17-year-olds who are really passionate about the issues, who are informed and who would like to be involved in our democratic process in a more substantive way. Now, if we look at the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, it says that every Canadian citizen shall have the right to vote. And of course, we can only infringe on those freedoms if we have really good reasons. I've looked at the reasons for excluding 16 and 17-year-olds. I don't think they're very solid.
Do you think it should be lower than that, or do you think 16 is an age where somebody can make a decision and sort of balance all the nuances voters have to do all the time? So you think 16 should be the number, not anything lower than that?
Yeah, fair question. 16 is the age that a number of other countries around the world that have lowered their voting ages recently have chosen. I think the key thing here has to do with one of the effects of lowering the voting age, which is the impact it has on voter turnout. You know, I think we would both agree that one of the hallmarks of a successful democracy is strong participation in elections. And we've always struggled with that 18 to 24-year-old demographic. They tend to have the lowest voter turnout. Now, what's happened in countries like Austria and Scotland that have lowered their voting age to 16, they've seen that 16 and 17-year-olds actually come out to vote in higher percentages than 18, 19, 20-year-olds. And that's because when you lower the age to within their time in high school, you're asking young people to vote at a fairly stable time of life when they're still living in their home riding, they're going to school, they're probably living at home. That's a decent time to expect young people to form voting habits. At 18, it's a really transitory time of life when people are moving away, they're starting work, school, all sorts of things. It's a much harder sell to get them to go to the polls the first time. And of course, if they go the first time, they build those voting habits that stick with them throughout their lives.
I'm curious, though. I mean, some have said, look, you know, you're right about that 18, you're very transitory. But generally, people really start, I find anyway, people start voting as they get older. It's amazing what mortgage and marriage and kids will do sometimes. Wherever you are in life, as you get older, you have more responsibilities and you have a tendency to then start caring a lot more about healthcare policy, in regards to transportation, development in your community. What does development look like? Wanting to leave a better world for your kids. Is democracy in jeopardy in regards to participation in your mind in Canada that we need to do this at this particular point? We're not perfect, that's for sure. But is this a pressing issue at this moment in your mind?
Well, I think democracy is in peril for all kinds of reasons. You know, if we look around the world, we can see that more and more people are feeling alienated and disenfranchised from our political institutions. And the way that we combat that, I believe, is by bringing more people into the conversation, by making and expanding and making our democracy more inclusive. And so the hope is that by bringing 16 and 17-year-olds into the conversation, we're going to bring new perspectives on the issues that we've been struggling with. This is one thing that really inspires me about young people. I find often they have a sort of moral clarity on issues that maybe older folks find to be a little bit more complex, or they don't see them quite as clearly. Issues like climate change is a very good example, where young people look at what's happening and they say, this should be a really clear this should be a really clear thing. You know, we're talking about our future. We're talking about the stability of the future we're going to inherit. We've got to act in a really concerted way. And yet, you know, older generations like yours and mine, we haven't been able to sort of conjure up that kind of fortitude to act in the way that's needed. So hopefully by bringing young voices in, we can get that kind of change. I think also there are issues that political parties simply don't pay attention to because young people aren't voters. And as you know very well, having been an MLA, a lot of our political system is directed around this idea of making the voters happy.
Yeah,
no, there's no incentive to make non-voters happy.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, part of the when you look at the housing situation, I'm not talking about 16-year-olds, even a millennial generation, the oldest millennial is probably middle-aged now, obviously, about 41, 42, but they've really in the last 6-7 years driven the conversation on housing. I'm not saying that seniors don't talk about housing or baby boomers don't or Gen Xers don't, but I think millennials have played a significant role in driving that conversation in and around housing. What do you say to those who may be a tad political cynical, say, look, the NDP and those on the center-left want to see this type of legislation simply because people or young voters at that age have a tendency to vote center-left. It's only as they get older they become more conservative. But right now, this is actually only going to do is well, only you're going to do is help out parties like the NDP or the Green Party. What do you say to that? Perhaps cynical response, but someone throw that out at you, right?
It's not the first time I've heard it. You know, I would say two things. First of all, you know, every year schools across Canada run a program called School Vote, mm-hmm. where people who are too young to vote have a chance to vote in a mock election. And after the real election is done, they analyze the student vote and they report out the results. And what it found in this last election, they found that young people voted in pretty equal proportions among the different political parties. So I think the assumption that all young people are going to vote a certain way is not necessarily an accurate one. But the second thing I'll say is that if I was a young person, a 16 or a 17-year-old, I would be particularly offended by that argument. Because what you're essentially saying is, it's not that you're not mature enough to vote. It's that we're worried about what you're going to do with the franchise. It's how your vote mm-hmm. or how you're going to vote that is the basis for excluding you. If we suggested that for any other demographic, people would be horrified. Mm-hmm. Most seniors, you know, there are certainly voting trends among seniors as well, and yet we would never suggest that we should use that as a reason to exclude them from the voting process.
So walk me through and our audience through where are we in regards to the vote, what happens next, walk us through the process.
Sure thing. So private members bills have a bit of an uphill slog. Mm-hmm. It's been brought forward for the first hour of debate several months back, and so each party had a chance to speak to it. Just last week it was up for its second hour of debate in the House. And then tomorrow it's going to have a vote at second reading, which determines whether the bill proceeds to committee for further study and amendments, or whether it goes back to square one. So tomorrow's a big day, and I'm certainly hopeful that we'll have a good result.
Any odds you want to offer?
Well, hope springs eternal. I've talked to lots of colleagues who are voting in support of the bill. One of the reasons I chose this bill, Jazz, is mm-hmm. because it has a history of cross-party support. Yeah. This is a bill that Mark Holland brought forward in 2005 when he was in opposition. It was his private member's bill. Mm-hmm. And now he's the government House leader, a very powerful position in the government. So we're going to be watching to see how Mark votes tomorrow on this issue. Mm-hmm. And I think we've got, obviously, support from all the New Democrats. The Bloc Québécois is going to be supporting it, the Green Party. A handful of Liberals. We're going to see how many. We've struggled a bit more to get support from the Conservative Party. Hmm. And we're going to have to keep working at that.
Well, we'll be watching very closely. It is, you're almost got me convinced there. So I think you've made a very good argument. I think it is one that we should be discussing and debating across this country. And we'll be watching the vote tomorrow very, very closely. Taylor, thank you so much for your time, my friend.
Thanks for your interest, Jeff. Have a great night.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.